Have you ever been caught in a situation in life where you literally feel like, man, I am caught in a storm? Have you ever been in a literal storm? I'm talking about when you're like driving. Matter of fact, a number of years ago, 5 years ago this month, my daughter, my oldest daughter, graduated from Samford University. That's S-A-M, not Stanford, but Samford in Birmingham. And my son and I, we had two cars. And we were driving back, my parents, and we were all, they had a car and we had a car. And I never forget that we were driving back. The rain was so bad. I mean, it was so bad. It was just like, and I was just kind of act cool. You know what I'm talking about? I was like, I got this. My son looked at me and goes, can you see? I said, nope. I said, can you go? Can you see? He said, nope. We literally had to pull underneath the interstate. If you ever been in a storm, a physical storm where you just couldn't see. Maybe it's not a physical storm, but maybe it's a relationship storm. Literally, you're like, man, I don't know what the next step is. I don't know what my next move is. I don't know what to do. Maybe it's something with a child. Feel like, man, we've done everything that we can, and yet we are right in the middle of a storm. Maybe it's a financial storm. Maybe it's an emotional storm. Maybe something at work. I don't know what it is, but you feel like, man, I'm in the middle of this storm. I can't see, and I got to just pull over, catch my breath to figure out what to do next. Speaking of storms, I never forget when I was with a couple of friends, and we went out to the Gulf, and we were getting a red snapper fish. This was a number of years ago, and I'm a big weather guy. Like, I like to look at the radars, and I evaluate on the weekend for church, and I'm always, you know, because if I look at it, it can adjust the weather. You know what I'm talking about? If I look at it enough and study it, just somehow, you know, well. And so I was going down there, you know, I want to check the weather because I always like to be prepared. And so I told my friend John, I said, John, it looks like, you know, the weather's kind of iffy. I'm not sure if we should go. Oh, Pastor, don't worry about it. We'll be fine. It's just going to be great. Yeah. Had a couple friends. We get to Venice. We're there. We launch out. We go. And I could kind of see in the distance, you know, there's kind of this little developing thing happening. We get about 10 miles out. And we tie up to a rig and we're fishing, and this kind of the waves start going a little bit. I could see the clouds moving in, and the weather's starting to shift, and the boat starts rocking. So one of the guys named Mitch, he's throwing up in the back. Come on. Literally, he's seasick. I'm like, this is not a good sign. Literally, the clouds move in. It starts lightning. Like, the lightning starts before the rain. It's super scary. And I'm like, John, what do you think we should do? He goes, well, we should probably go in. I'm like, duh. We turn around. He starts gunning it. I mean, we're going as fast as we can. We're going over the waves. And I have this thought, because I'm a little anxious. I said to him, I said, John, can I just, I don't know as much as you do about this, but can lightning hit your boat if it's moving this fast? And here's what he said. Pastor, if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. How many know that didn't bring peace to my soul? Good news is we did get to the land, and we made it. You ever been in a storm and you didn't know what to do? So some of you guys are in situations literally right now. You're in storms, again, a relational storm, a financial storm, and you've pulled in under the overpass and the interstate, or you're assessing, man, what is my next step? How do I respond to this? Well, let me give you a weather update from heaven. Here it is. We're all going to face storms. Matter of fact, in this life, there's 100% chance of storms. But how you respond to that, how you biblically navigate through storms, how you have the wisdom of God, how you hear God, how you build your life, the materials, the foundation that you have, all determines how you, watch this, go through the storms. Fact is, a storm can affect every part of your life. Jesus shared a powerful word picture about storms as he came to the summation of his famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. He contrasts two houses. They experienced the same thing, but yet their responses were different. Watch this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, And the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the what? Everybody say it. On the rock. The foundation was sure. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. So there's two hearers, but there's only one doer. They're both in church, but only one's applying the word. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended. Notice, 100% chance of rain. 100% chance storms are going to come. The rain came, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. The contrast is two homes. One's built upon the rock. The other one is built upon the sand. The rains came. The winds blew. The Bible talks about the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Pastor, why am I going through this? We live in a broken, fallen world. The cosmos, the Greek word for world, it's broken. There's a real antagonist who's called the devil. We deal with things. The issue is not whether we're going to deal with things. The issue is how are we going to deal with things? And your foundation, your building materials, notice, one is on the rock, it's immovable. It doesn't mean that it doesn't come, but it doesn't collapse when it comes. But the other one's on the sand. What is the sand? The sand is a picture of something that shifts. It's emotions. It's building your life on feelings and emotions, cultural trends. By the way, the culture makes up things every day. You do realize that. What used to be right is wrong. What used to be wrong is now right. They're just making it up. And the fact is, if you build your life on the opinions of people and the philosophies of man and the ideological framework of this world system, it shifts, it moves. Guess what? That's not a good foundation. Jesus said, build on the rock. Everybody say the rock. The rock is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. When you put your faith in Christ, you begin to build your life on something that doesn't move. It doesn't mean that the winds don't come. It means your foundation is sure. I live, as you guys, many of our campuses, South Mississippi, South Louisiana, we've got in Atlanta as well, and people watch around the world, but those of us in the Gulf Coast region, this is a month where we prepare. We don't like to think about it, but we have to begin to think about hurricane a little bit, storm preparation. I heard something on the news the other day, have you filled up your generator, and whether it's gas or diesel, you're feeling anxious right now. I'm even talking about it. But the truth is there's a wisdom in storm preparation. You know, where are you going to go if you have to evacuate? What are you going to do? And of course, as a church, we have a dream team that we respond to storms. Tell me how grateful that we have the dream team that responds to storms and helps people, just like we did in Slidell with that tornado. We had hundreds of volunteers over there. So there's a certain preparation. Matter of fact, we had a team meeting a couple weeks ago where it's a preparation. There's something about preparation. There's something about storm-proofing your home. Again, storm-proofing your home doesn't mean that the storm won't come. It means your home won't fall down when it does come. You storm-proof it. It means you take the necessary measures to put up the right shutters. When storm-proofing a building, it doesn't mean the storm won't come. It does mean it's going to watch us stand in the storm. Matter of fact, we are so excited. I'm sure you guys are as well. Next year, 2025, we're going to be moving in to our St. Charles campus. Come on, how many of y'all excited about that? Downtown New Orleans. Hey, look, so I know a lot about window ratings and storm windows. I know a lot about that. We had to replace every single window. Of course, those windows were 100 years old. How many of you know they needed to be replaced? And so we replaced every one of those windows. And so I know about storm ratings. Those windows are so good. They can withstand, I'm telling you, I think they can withstand, 500 mile an hour winds. Okay, that's impossible. But I will say this. The winds are so strong. Matter of fact, I know some of y'all, I don't even know if they have 500 miles. Maybe during the tribulation. That building will withstand the tribulation. Of course, I believe in the rapture. I'll be out of here. Those of you that don't, you'll be safe in that building. So I want to let you know that. Go to the St. Charles campus. Just hang out in there. Those windows are not going to break. We're going to be in heaven rejoicing, but you didn't believe in the rapture, so you're here. That was funny. Anyway, I just made that up. Everybody say stormproof. We talk a lot about stormproof in buildings, but is your life stormproofed? That's not to suggest that you avoid storms. It does mean you don't fall apart in the storm. how you build in your life. What foundation is your life built upon? In the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, are you prepared for the storms? I want to give you four guiding principles for navigating storms. We're going to be teaching this month. I'm going to look at four different biblical examples of real life storms. Now, again, I'm using the storm. There are natural storms, rainstorms, windstorms, but it's also a biblical metaphor and a picture of adversity in life. So I'm going to use those concepts interchangeably. I'm actually going to be looking for 4 weeks at literal storms. So physiological, there's going to be ecological storm, like a rainstorm. But I'm also going to be looking at the emotions, the mental, and the spiritual responses to those storms. I want to give you guys four principles. If you have your notes, those of you that are joining online, you can download these on YouVersion. Four guiding principles for navigating storms. Are y'all ready to jump into this? Come on, how many of y'all excited about learning this stuff? I'm excited. Number one, storms are inevitable. This is important. If you don't know that, then you'll think, you know, God's mad at you because you're going through something. Storms are inevitable. Now I'm going to talk about causation here in a moment. In this world, we will have trouble. Adversity will come. Matthew 7, 25, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew on both houses. Jesus went on to say in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In this world, we live in this world. This is not a utopian existence. We're not in heaven yet. We still have challenges in the here and now. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care if you've been walking with Jesus for 50 minutes or 50 years. Or 5 years, we live in a broken world. And there's challenges in this world. There's adversity and there's crisis and there's things that happen outside of us. There's things that happen close to us. And we've got to learn how to navigate. We've got to learn how to build our lives on firm foundation. And we need to learn how to operate in the wisdom of God. We need to learn how to do it God's way. Everyone say God's way. There's God's way and then there's the world's way. By the way, there's three causes of storm as I see it in the scripture. Number one, three kinds of storms. The first is the storms that we cause ourselves. Truth is, we make poor decisions sometimes. Think Samson in the Bible. Great strength, great power on his life, and yet he compromised and he made a poor choice. Watch this, and he reaped the consequences of that. Now, in God's mercy, here's what's so cool about God. In God's mercy, he still at the very end of his life fulfilled his destiny. But he went through a lot of tribulation, a lot of heartache. Why? Because he made a poor choice. And sometimes our decisions, our actions put us in adverse environments. I'll never forget, this is kind of funny, but we have four children, but when my wife was pregnant for my oldest daughter, and she came in talking about saying foolish things. I remember she came, she had these overalls, and my wife's beautiful, and I think she's beautiful, but I never forget, and I had this, by the way, maturity is not always saying what you think. Can I have a big amen? And I remember she had these overalls on. She walked in, and she was right at the end. You know, I mean, this is our, and she was just, and I said, honey, you just look huge. How many know that's not wisdom? Come on, somebody. So sometimes it's the things that we say. Sometimes the decisions that we make. So don't blame the devil on that one. Don't blame God on that one. In other words, we've got to own it. Everybody say own it. Sometimes the situations that we're in, quote, called storms, we've brought on ourselves. Maybe we acted emotionally, irrationally. We've compromised. We followed the wrong crowd. We were in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. Evaluate your playmates, your play toys and playgrounds in the wrong place at the wrong time. We got to own that. We got to realize, man, I don't know what happened. Well, I know what happened. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You made the choice to go there. Sometimes storms happen because of our choices. Number two, sometimes storms are caused by other people's choices and you experience the ricochet or the implication, the overflow of that. Our boats are tied up to other people's boats. I mean, sometimes we just like, my gosh, we experience the shrapnel of other people's poor decisions. Think Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16. They're preaching Christ. They're apostles in the New Testament. They're preaching Jesus. And I mean, they're just minding their own business, preaching Christ. Culture gets stirred up. They get mad at them. They throw them in jail. They find themselves in jail. They've done nothing wrong. They begin to lift their voice. The jail begins to shake. The chains break. And the next thing you know, watch this, they're released from jail. Question, were they in jail because of their poor decisions? The answer is no. They were in jail because the culture was hostile to the gospel. By the way, let me bring up a couple points here. Well, Pastor, where does the devil come into this? The devil is a great exploiter. And by the way, sometimes he exploits people, weak-willed people, wounded people, and the Bible even calls wicked people. Paul says, I pray that you deliver me from wicked people. Oh my gosh, that's heavy, Pastor. It's in the Bible. We have to activate our will. So the enemy will take advantage of people that don't activate their will and obey the scripture. That's not just hearing, but doing the word. The difference between hearing and doing is your will passive or is it active? An activated will is a doer of the word. And when somebody is passive in their will, or somebody is, watch this, wounded and they're unwilling to embrace healing, or they've just given themselves over to evil, the enemy takes advantage. And yes, dust clouds can come from their decisions, but even in that, thank God, God will give us the wisdom to be able to stand in the storm. Sometimes storms are caused because of our choices, sometimes because of other people's, but sometimes storms are caused by God himself. God can get our attention through storms, develop our faith, redirect us in storms. Think Jonah. We're going to be talking about Jonah 1 week. God spoke to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh. God gave him an assignment, but he actually went in the opposite direction. So God, watch this, sent a storm. Could it be that the storm that you're in right now is God not trying to destroy you, but trying to get you, watch this, back on course? Yeah. Number two, the second thing, if you're taking notes, storms can lead us to fear, panic, and doubt, which can immobilize us if we don't understand what's going on. A storm hits us throughout scripture. We see people freaking out in a storm. Why? Because your emotions get hit. Why do you think in the Bible talks so much about fear not? Why does the Bible say fear not? Fear not. 366 times in the Bible is fear not. Why? What? Why? How many know God doesn't even forget leap day? That was funny. Anyway, well, why is that? Because when you go through a storm, the first thing that hits you is fear. You begin to feel that in your emotions. Remember the children of Israel? They got delivered from Egypt. You guys remember that? They got delivered from Egypt, Egyptian bondage, 400 years there. I mean, they're high-fiving one another. They got to get out of jail card free. They're just fired up. And they get all the way to the Red Sea. And they're like, wow, I don't know where to go now. Somebody turns around, hey! They turn around, and here it is, Pharaoh's army's coming. So they can't go forward. They can't go backward. They can't go to the left. They can't go to the right. And they're stuck. Maybe that's where you feel like you are. The very first thing that hits them is fear. Why? Because they feel immobilized. They can't move. Look what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. By the way, in this series, I'm going to teach you how to overcome fear and paralysis when you're in the middle of a storm. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Here they come. So they were very what? Come on. They were very what? Say it. Afraid. There it is. Fear. Fear. Panic. Doubt. I'm going to teach you how the Bible gives us wisdom strategies to overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Fear, worry, and doubt. And they even said, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the wilderness. Can you imagine that? The children of Israel were in a storm. They were in a storm. I want everybody to listen to what I'm about to say. They were in a storm. Nobody's denying the storm. They were in a literal storm. There was dust clouds around them. They were in adversity and a challenge. The problem was not that they were in a storm. The problem was they allowed the storm to get in them. Pastor Steve, is it possible for me to be in a storm in life and not allow the storm to get on the inside of me? It sure is. In other words, you can be going through an adversity and trial and tribulation, but you can have the wisdom of God and the power of God and apply the scripture and walk with God in such a way that the storm, watch this, won't be on the inside of you. It's one thing to be the storm on the outside. It's another thing to let that outside get on the inside. Because when it gets on the inside, it steals your peace. When it gets on the inside, that's where fear and panic and worry and doubt come from. I don't believe the Bible promises us that God's going to deliver us from every storm on the outside, but he does promise he'll deliver you in the storm. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in worry. You don't have to live in doubt. Number three, the third principle that we're going to be talking about over this next month is our lives are tested, grown, and redirected by God during storms. Our lives are tested, grown, and redirected by God during storms. I'm often reminding myself that God is more committed to my character development than my comfort. I want to say that again. God is more committed to my character development than my comfort. I'm going to say this about you. God is more committed to your character development. In other words, he's more concerned about what you're becoming. Who are you becoming? What man are you becoming? When we put such an emphasis on accomplishment and achievement, and there's an element of that. Genesis chapter 1, the dominion mandate, God has called us to achieve, to excel, to take dominion. But I think that the emphasis in the Bible is much more on what you're becoming. What kind of person are you growing in the character of Christ? And if we have the target wrong, if we have the target wrong in life, I think that we can get, well, we can have dashed hopes. Our expectations can be denied. Why? Because God is really intent on who you're becoming. And he allows things into our life to position us, listen, so that we will respond correctly. That we can draw upon the well of God's character on the inside of us. Yeah. You know what a test is. What is a test when you went to school? What is a test? A test is to find out how much you know. It's a test is to find out how much you've grown. The test is not to destroy you. The test is to prove you. It's to show you how you've grown. James chapter 1, verse 2, the scripture says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Everybody say it. Patience. We love to talk about faith, step out in faith, seven steps to achieve your destiny. How about, I mean, who would come to a series? Can you imagine if I, you know, Facebook, Instagram, if I publicized a series, come here, Pastor Steve, 7-week series on developing patience. Boy, it'd be packed out, wouldn't it? And yet the Bible talks about through faith and patience, we inherit the promise of God. Patience is an issue of character development. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. That's the Greek word that actually means mature, complete, lacking nothing. Can you imagine receiving this letter as new Christians? These are Jewish Christians. And I mean, literally, can you imagine what they're going through? They're going through mockery and martyrdom. These are first century Christians, and they're being persecuted for their faith. And James has the boldness to say to them, hey, count it all joy when you fall in various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith is producing something in you. You don't see it, but you're becoming a different person. The character of Christ is taking root deep in your heart, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a powerful thing. That's what James is saying. No, we can't choose our storms, but we can choose our attitude in the storm. What kind of man are you becoming? What kind of woman are you becoming? I played football in high school, and I'll never forget in eighth grade where I went to John Curtis. In eighth grade, you get to train. It was really cool, man. You get to train with high school people. And I remember spring training. I mean, I was this little guy and a rookie. And so in spring training, we would do these drills. I had no idea why we were doing these drills. I was like, why is it? You know, went to River Ridge. We were hopping up the levee. And then we had these different cones and all these different things and tires and all this. I thought that in football, here's what I thought. I thought we were going to be throwing the football the first day. I'm like, where's the pads, man? I'm 106 pounds. I'm ready to hit somebody. I think I was maybe 110. I don't know, you know. And the reality is, I thought, I'm like, man, where's the football? Where's the thing? Well, it's like a week goes on and we're doing more drills. Another week goes on, we're doing more drills. And watch this. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, what? Here it is. Don't miss this. I need everybody, every location to lean in. I thought to myself, what do these drills have to do with anything related to football? What I didn't realize is it was running through those tires and doing those drills actually were building, watch this, agility in my life. They were building resilience. They were building teamwork. In other words, Oftentimes we don't understand the trial that we're going through. God is building spiritual agility, spiritual resilience. He's getting you to depend upon the body of Christ. You're humbling yourself. You're asking for help. You don't realize, but the drill is preparing you for the game. The trial is preparing you, watch this, to overcome. In other words, God is working in that trial. You got to see that. You got to see what God is doing. Don't be a rookie. That's got to be a message title. Understand that God is working. Everybody say, God is working. So, trials at times test us. They grow us. And we don't like them. Trust me, I'm not like waking up in the morning, I'm ready for a trial, yeah. No. But I'm learning this at my age. I'm gonna utilize that adversity, watch this, and maximize it to grow my faith muscles, to grow me on the inside. I'm not gonna have a bad attitude about it. I'm not gonna whine about it. But I'm gonna realize, okay, God, you're gonna use this to grow me on the inside. By the way, trials also redirect us. Storms do. They can redirect us. What is God's original intention? What is God's desire? Here's what God's desire is. I want everybody to hear what I'm about to say. This is important. God's desire is, remember Matthew chapter 7, is for us to hear the word. Everybody say, hear the word. And everybody say, do the word. Okay, don't miss this. Hear and do. Hear and do. So God's design is for us to not be just a hearer, not just to come to church on the weekend, but to come to church on the weekend and apply scripture. So it's to be a hearer and a doer. That's his design. Hear what? Hear the word. Do what? Do the word. If you're a doer of the word, guess what? That's how you develop. That's how you grow, that doing the work. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. What happens when we don't do the word? What happens when we disobey God's word? What happens when we choose to do life on our own terms, away from God's mandates and God's wisdom and God's word? What happens? In other words, God's desire first is not for you to experience a storm to get your attention. It's first for you to obey his word. Let me give you an example. For a child, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. My first desire is for them to hear my what? Everybody say it. Word. But if they don't obey my word, they're going to experience the consequence. God's first desire is to get our attention through his word. That's why having a devotional life is so important. Knowing Christ, putting your faith in Jesus, and spending time in the Bible, hearing the word. Why? Because when we hear the word and then do the word, that's God's. But in God's mercy, sometimes he allows storms to come. Just like in Jonah's life. Go to Nineveh, preach. Nineveh's this way. I don't want to go. I'm going this way. God's first desire was for Jonah to obey, go to Nineveh. But because he didn't, God prepared a fish. I don't want God to have to spend any time to prepare a fish for my life. How about you? Pastor, you really believe he's in a fish? Yeah, I really believe that. I don't want to end up in a fish. The only way you don't end up in a fish is you got to obey the word. But in God's mercy, he'll prepare a fish. The bridge is out. What is that storm for? The bridge is out. He's trying to save you from drowning. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. It's not working. So in other words, his first choice is obey the word. But if you don't listen to the word, he prepares a storm. Why? Out of his love to redirect you. How many are grateful for God's grace? Sometimes the door that's closed, you're kicking open and God's on the other side of it. Part of having the wisdom of God is knowing when it's the devil for you to rebuke or whether it's God for you to yield to. Knowing the wisdom. God told Paul at times, Paul said, I wanted to go here, but the Spirit forbid me. And there's other times, Paul said, I wanted to go here, but Satan hindered me. Part of understanding storms, I want everybody to hear, this is very important. Part of understanding the wisdom of God is knowing when Satan is resisting or God is forbidding. I have a lot to say. I'll never forget in 2010, our Little Creek campus, I know we have campuses all over now, but our Little Creek campus, we did a big building campaign here, and we had a loan, and right at the last minute was pulled because of the recession, 2008, 2009. You guys know what was happening. I was so upset. Little did I know that God was actually saving us from millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars of debt. It was painful. It took us 5 years. We borrowed on the back end, but we borrowed a lot less than on the front end. Pastor, do you believe that God caused a global recession all because Church of the King was going to borrow too much money? Maybe. No. No, I don't, but I do believe that God can use even economies to get your attention. I think God is so big. By the way, God can even use your own personal mistakes and turn them around for your good and his glory. How many are grateful for God's mercy? Yeah, he can. All right, let me give you this last one. This is the framework. I'm giving you a lens. This is the framework that we're going to deal with the next month as we look to biblical characters that dealt with storms. In every storm, God provides peace, calm, and shelter. Psalms 107, 29, here it is. He calmed the storm to a whisper, and he stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into the harbor. God is with you. Everybody say, God is with me. You've got to know that God is with you. God is with you. I know some of you guys are going through very painful situations right now. And you've got to know this. And I can't, as a pastor, promise you that you're going to be delivered from that. But I can promise you, you can be delivered in that. In other words, that God will help get the storm out from the inside of you. Sometimes our circumstance, God first wants to change us, then he changes our circumstance. God first wants to change us. We're always looking on the outside. If this person would change, if the economy would change, if my boss would change, if my church would change, if everything would change. I want to submit to you, the problem may be on the outside, but the real problem is always on the inside. And God is teaching us. He's teaching us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What is God after? His character, his peace, his joy, the nine fruits of the Spirit. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which you are also called in Christ Jesus. You can find peace and calm and shelter even amidst the storm. I'll close with this. Sometimes God delivers you from the storm, but God will always deliver you in the storm. There is another side to your storm. God will bring you through that. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I know God is working in you. God is working in you. God is interested. Watch this. Everybody watch right here. God is interested in who you're becoming. God is building you. God is working. Last verse, Isaiah 43, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, and a path through the mighty waters. God is making a path for you. God's making a way for you. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it not spring forth? Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness. A road in the wilderness. The trees are going to clear. God's going to do that. God's got spiritual heavy machinery making a way in the wilderness for you. And rivers in the desert. If God shut the mouths of lions for Daniel, God will make a way for you. I'm going to say that again. If God shut the mouths of lions for Daniel, God will make a way for you. If God paved a way through the Red Sea for the children of Israel, God will make a way for you. If God opened the prison doors for Paul and Silas, God will make a way for you. If God calmed the sea for the disciples, God will make a way for you. If God delivered Esther from Haman's evil plot, God will make a way for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? The Bible says no weapon. Everyone say no weapon. Listen to what I'm about to say. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't say that weapons won't be formed against you. But it does say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That curse, the Bible says, shall not take alight. In other words, you've got to see this. The weapons that are formed against you, the Bible says, they're not going to prosper. Why? Because there's supernatural angelic hosts around your life. There's the favor of God on your life, the power of God inside of you as a believer. Everybody say, no weapon. Doesn't mean they won't be formed. Doesn't mean that people won't say things, but it won't prosper. Why? Because there's a buoyancy. There's a power on the inside of you. You got to see, greater is he that is in you than the devil that's in the world. How many are grateful for the power of God on the inside of you? You got to see that. The Lord is with you. The Lord is for you. He's not against you. You may feel life is against you. God's not against you. God's not against you. God is for you. God will be your strength. He will be your rest. I'll close with this. I like this song that says, even when you don't see it, God is working. God is a way maker. How many are grateful that God is a way maker? God is a way maker. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads. If you do not know Christ, the greatest way, the first and best way, the only way to build a life of strength is to have your faith in Christ. This world is shifting. It's sand. It's passing away. You don't build your life on your emotions. You don't build your life on your feelings. You build your life on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ? Do you know that you know if you die today that you're ready to stand before God? God is a good God and he loves you and he's not mad at you. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray to receive Christ. If you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I die today that I'm ready to stand before God. I can't save you, my friend. Church of the King can't save you. I tell you, can. His name is Jesus. He loves you. He cares about you. He died on the cross for you. He was buried for you. And he was raised on the third day for you. And this is your opportunity. This is your moment to say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. Maybe you've gone to church for years, but you've never made it personal. You've never personally received Christ. This is your moment. With all of our locations, our campus pastors are on stage right now. In just a moment, the count of three, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Pastor, pray for me. I need Christ. I need the blood of Jesus to wash me and to cleanse me and make me new. If that's you at the count of three, I'm going to ask you just to lift your hand up high so I can see it. Pastor, I need Christ. If that's you, one, two, three. Quickly, just hold your hand up high. God bless you guys. Every one of our locations. God bless you. Every one of our campuses. That's awesome. That's awesome. I know hands are going up at every one of our locations. And I'm going to pray with those of you that are trusting Christ right now. Church family, can we pray with those that are trusting Jesus? Come on, all of our campuses, those that are watching online right now, you're going to let your host know this, that you've prayed, that you're trusting Christ, you're saved. Let's all pray together. Say, Dear Jesus, come on, everyone. Dear Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner in need of a Savior. Say this. Say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I let go of my past, and I turn to you. I turn to the cross. Say, wash me with your blood. Give me a new heart, a new life, a new reason to live. I want you to say this. Say, Jesus, I take my life and I put it in your hands. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the word of the living God taking root deep in the hearts of your people.
Wow, what an incredible message. And I really hope that you're walking away encouraged and full of hope that God is with you and God loves you. And I do want to take a second to talk to those of you who may be making a decision right now to commit your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe to recommit your life to Christ. If that is you, we are so excited for you. And as a church, we would love nothing more than to just walk alongside you, to show you what it means to follow Jesus. Because we believe that you're leaving the past in the past, and this is not the finish line, it's actually the starting line of an amazing life of following Jesus for the rest of your life. So would you give us the privilege of just following up with you, giving you some resources and helping you as you're beginning to walk out this new life of following Jesus. And again, congratulations, we're so excited for you. And if you do want to be a part of just partnering with us to continue to reach people and build lives, you can always go online to churchoftheking.com/give to be a part of seeing the gospel go forth and people to hear about Jesus. And lastly, I want to encourage you, if you're not already, to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to follow us on Facebook, to really stay up to date with all that God has for us, all the content that we're putting out. Pastor Steve has some powerful messages every single week for us, and we're really growing and learning what it means to live out the life that God has for us. So I encourage you to follow along, to be a part of all that God is doing here at Church of the King. And again, we just want to say thank you for being a part of our service today. We love you guys. We hope you have an awesome rest of the week, and we'll see you very soon.